Hi everyone, it's Jocelyn and welcome to the Magnetic Abundance Podcast. You are in the right place if you're a storyteller, business professional, coach and entrepreneur desiring to make millions joyfully and work with affluent clients. In each episode, I will teach you how to take your power back and grow your business in the most aligned way. So, let's get started. Hi everyone, thank you so much for coming back and joining us in this new episode. This week, I have got Rafi Prince Natwarni, who has a Polish background, but living in America all his life. And he runs Idea Strider. He has a passion to talk about motivation, productivity, procrastination, and he's got a good history around working in a marketing role for over a decade. So welcome, Rafi. Tell us a bit about your work history and who you are.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So I worked as a marketing operations manager for a startup for most of my career, but I've done a host of jobs. And my latest company, I'm still in marketing operations, but for a much larger firm. So we have about 300 employees versus the startup had 6 people when I first started. So a little changes there. But for those who don't know marketing operations, that's basically the IT for sales and marketing. So who could do all the technical stuff, but have the background to know what sells.
Awesome. That's good. And beyond that, passionate topic that you love and you track and you talk about is productivity. So tell me why that topic sparks your interest so much.
Yeah, I think I'm one of those nerdy people that have a spreadsheet that tracks their life. And, you know, with all these productivity apps out there, I'm like, I've been doing it since back in 07 kind of thing. It goes to my personality type of wanting to learn. And I was always the why child. So, you know, if you were a why child, raise your hand. You know, you're like, why? Why is the sky blue? Why is this? Why is that? You drove your parents nuts, right? So it's always been kind of part of me to figure out the why of things. And so with productivity, I always wanted to figure out how I could do things in such a way that I could learn the outcomes, you know, why they were good or bad outcomes, and then be able to improve, right? Because everyone wants to be like super famous, like rock and roll player, but like the amount of effort you would have to do in guitar and learning. Or, you know, famous businessman, lots of money. You always want to succeed. So productivity was something that I kind of fell into because I'm a senior procrastinator. I have over 2 decades of experience procrastinating, and it's something I struggle with. So kind of like the opposite of procrastination is productivity. So that's another reason I get excited about talking about productivity.
So you mentioned that the interest around productivity starts because you have got 20 years of procrastination background and you call and, you know, titled yourself senior procrastinator. And tell us, what is it that you actually procrastinate against?
Yeah, so everyone has, so there's going to be like, as many people might have read articles, they talk about like general reasons why people procrastinate. And if you're into the neuroscience, think about like your brain having a muscle that whenever you want to do something and you do it, like that's exercising a muscle, right? Let's say your right arm, you know, whenever you're working out your right arm, but whenever you want to do something and you don't do it, you're not exactly letting your arm sit there. You're exercising your left arm. And so a lot of people build up the strength, whether to deny themselves what they want or to get themselves what they want, you know, and this is kind of like the willpower negotiation. But as far as what I find is holding me back is often related to, you know, a lot of people have childhood experiences. For me, it was kind of like the fear of being different. So that's a root cause. And everyone has like a different root cause or memory. And so when you're kind of like exercising through life, you know, your right arm procrastination, or I like to call it, you know, the willpower not to do what you want. Or, you know, the willpower to get out of bed at 6 a.m. and go for that run or whatever it is. It's kind of based on that trigger that you have. And that trigger is different for everyone, right? So whether it's a traumatic event or just, you know, repetitive experiences, time and time again, you just learn it. And so for me, it was always being that kid that was different, that wanted to do different things, new ideas, crazy. You know, I would orchestrate these gigantic epic battles on the playground where I would, you know, have two different armies going at it, little kids, obviously. And that was kind of my personality. And so because I was always like kind of the person who was trying to do something new and different, I was often kind of like pushed outside, you know, saying, whoa, he's way too different. So that's kind of the trigger for me when I procrastinate. And so it's helpful to know, just because you could kind of identify when you're going to get triggered and potentially avoid those when you need to get something done, like taxes. I know taxes are probably on a lot of people's minds right now.
Yes, fear of being different. It's such a topic, isn't it? Because growing up, I also had that fear of being different, but now I embrace that so much because I'm so different and I own that uniqueness. My fear was that I did not fit into my Asian culture and that they have this unspoken checklist, things that they have to tick because you're female, you must do accounting, or if you're really smart, you go to medicine. And then from there, you get a really good job, you earn high paying income, and then you get married, and then you have kids, and then you progress in life, and then you travel, and then you buy the biggest house, and so on and so. But that was not at all what I was. And so along the way, there was that fear of, if I show my true self and who I really want to be, being different, I fear judgment, I fear criticism, I fear that what would people think about me. So then in the weekend, I'll just be someone that I am fully myself, but at work, I fulfill every single thing expected by the society, expected by my family. But deep down, there was such an incongruent lifestyle because it was exhausting trying to be someone that you're not. Although being someone I wasn't, I was very successful from an external perspective, you know. But internally, it wasn't satisfying. It was not in alignment. The soul wasn't happy. The spirit was exhausting. And I learned that I needed to bring alignment into my world. So I could resonate with that. And for me, bringing alignment into my world is really to go, I need to actually do what I really do and love what I really do. And that is fine. And that does not tick someone else's box and checklist, but it's all good. So I like the style of you taking that risk and wanting to pursue that at your age, because you will then role model that to the society what's possible, right? A while ago, we had this conversation around the data that you created for yourself and you gathered that data for 6 years. Tell me a bit more about that data and why, you know, you collected that for 6 years. What was your insights, the lowlights, the highlights of those data?
Okay. So I should preface this to say that I was born with insomnia. So I remember as like a four-year-old, I would be up all night. And it's no problem as a young child because like you're already hyperactive as it is. But you only feel the pains once you're like a teenager and you need your sleep, right? So I started tracking this because I would go to doctor after doctor because sleep deprivation is one of the hardest things to solve. It's just kind of like the common cold. Like there's just so many reasons or causes for it, you know, stress, anxiety, whatever it is. And so I started keeping a track of my own patterns and habits. And this is before we had like all the smart watches and trackers that would like measure blood pressure and things like that. So it's all self-reported. And so I've learned some really interesting correlations that match up with a lot of the current studies on science. So with happiness, exercise, and productivity, and trying to think sleep as well, energy levels. So for me, I found there's a really strong positive correlation between when I was exercising and my mood, right? And there was a slightly less positive correlation when I was working on my ideas and when I was happy, right? So like, I think a lot of entrepreneurs talk about their journey as a wild roller coaster. And I think that maps, you know, like you're happy, you're stressed, you're frustrated, you're crying, you're like, it's a very emotional journey. So it's interesting to see just how, when I've been working on my ideas, that I actually tend to be just slightly more happier, right? And that's actually why I moved to Hawaii recently.
So one of the things that I read this phenomenal book, and I'm getting to the reason or the big findings in my spreadsheet, is that I had the most energy and I felt the best rested when I was the happiest, right? So I started reading positive psychology books. So there's a great one by Sean Anker, who does the TED Talk. Like, he has a 2014 TED Talk or 11. It's phenomenal. But I read his book and he was talking about how we've gotten it wrong when it comes to productivity, right? We used to think that in order to be happy, we have to be successful. So we have to be really productive, we have to schedule everything, and we have to just follow those that are super successful so that we could get to the happiness, right? And so he's a Harvard graduate, and he studied a lot of students that were stressed out, as well as like hundreds of other studies. And he found that the most successful people were happy first, and then they were able to become successful. So it's kind of like having the green grass on your current side rather than look at it over the fence. So I took that as an experiment. So I moved to Hawaii during the pandemic, and it meant that I was working at like 3 a.m. remote for my job, right, for most of the summer. But I was focused on trying to be happier so that I could be more productive. And so at the end of last year, I was able to increase my productivity. So productivity could be defined in many ways, but mine was how many days out of the year was I able to work towards my goal. So that was working on my business ideas. That's what I defined it as. So I was able to increase that by about 6%. So that out of the whole year, I worked 87% towards my goal, right? So that's 87% of days out of the year. That's a mouthful to explain. But more importantly, I'm able to triple my happiness levels while being more productive, right? So that's, I think, a great outcome for experiment. So I'm going to stay here in Hawaii. But yeah, that's kind of like the findings.
Awesome. That is good. So how would you rate your happiness today on a scale of 1 to 10?
1 to 10. Yeah, I would say about a 7 or 8. I'm looking forward to this afternoon, as well as, you know, this podcast has been a highlight of my day.
And what makes you happy?
That's great. So I love talking about ideas, and I love exploring new hobbies. I say my hobby is collecting new hobbies. So right now I do gigantic soap bubbles. You know, we're talking the size that you can fit cars in, as well as like partner acrobatics and things like that. But like, I'm going to get my scuba diving license soon. So that's on my list. So a lot of things make me happy.
Amazing. That is fun. That is really, really true in terms of happiness come from inside out. We know that external things doesn't always make someone happy. You can be the richest person on earth, but still doesn't have the happiest life. In fact, a lot of people have got so much issues and a lot of things that is weighing them down because they seek happiness externally. The good thing is that you chose to relocate to Hawaii 2 years ago to really test and learn and really gather your own data around how you can improve the quality of your happiness. And I can definitely see that in you, that you are doing the work and that tripling the amount of happiness can make such a big difference. And no doubt your sleep level will improve as well. So that is definitely fun. Now, you mentioned something along the lines of acro yoga, and I was curious around that. So tell me, what is acro yoga?
Yeah, so I don't know if you had fun parents that would put you on their feet when they were lying on the bed and kind of like fly you around like an airplane as a child.
Nah, wasn't that lucky to have that?
Of course it. But that's kind of acro yoga, where you're balancing another person on you. So like partner acrobatics, things like that, where people are standing on your shoulders. So it's a lot of like different positions and transitioning. It's quite fun. I've been doing it for almost 7 years now.
So how does that work? You do 60 minutes, or is there, you know, certain practices around that you do? How many times a week?
Yeah. So here in Hawaii, because the weather's so nice all year round, I'm able to do it twice a week. So, and we usually do it for like 2-3 hours. just outdoors in a public park back at my hometown in Rochester, New York. I used to do it about once a week, depending on the weather. Now I hear that they have three different jams going, so you can do it three times a week there.
Oh, that's cool. I think the last few weeks I attended a circus, and that was the closest memory I had around someone doing that. And it was like definitely really fun. It requires a lot of muscle work and core work, I think, because those ladies, three of those ladies that performed in that circus was doing that. And the whole show for 90 minutes was very much around climbing on each other, going through chairs, swinging one way to another. And it requires a lot of flexibility. So that is fun. And doing that for 7 years is definitely something to admire for. You mentioned that you learn sign language. So what sparked your interest to learn sign language?
Well, so actually that was my first language. So my mom is deaf. And so that was the first language I could sign before our vocal cords developed. There's actually a lot of studies showing that it reduces stress in the baby when they could communicate before they could speak by teaching them sign language. So sign language has just been a way of communicating with my mother as well as the deaf community, because Rochester has a huge deaf community.
Awesome. That is really, really powerful. And I've been to Hawaii. So which part of Hawaii are you staying in?
Yeah, so I'm in Oahu, downtown in Waikiki. So all the tourist area, constantly here.
Yes, I visited Hawaii about 7 years ago and definitely was in Waikiki. I was staying about 200 steps away from that beautiful beach. And yeah, it is a very, very relaxing area to be in. And I hope to go back again in the near future. A couple of other things that I'm curious to know about, what you do is that if you get to travel more in the future, which country would you be interested to visit?
Yeah, so I have travel plans to visit a friend in Germany sometime over the summer, if possible. And I definitely want to explore the other islands here in Hawaii.
Awesome. And you mentioned there's a number of books that you have read about positive psychology. Do you read books beyond that? What other books do you read besides positive psychology?
Yeah, so it's been a while since I read a good book. But one that I really enjoyed was You Are the Placebo. It's by a neuroscientist. You're nodding your head. You've probably heard of this. So that was a great one that I really enjoyed. And it talks about the history of the placebo effect, as well as, how it could be potentially employed outside of just like medical studies as a way of exclusion to make sure that whatever the drugs they're giving is actually working.
That is good. That's good. And what gift do you want to share with the world? You've got so many different skills, experience in marketing, a lot of work that you do behind productivity to really help with your procrastination, work that you experience. What gift do you want to offer to the world?
Yeah, so I think it goes back to this is an alarming statistic that I found, and this is in the Global Entrepreneur Monitor. So this is a report they did last year. And they found that 1/3 of entrepreneurs have an idea, they see opportunity in the marketplace, they have the skill sets to take it, and they're not doing it because they're afraid of failure, right? So I found that incredibly disheartening, because I know like the pangs and the roller coaster ride of entrepreneurship. And so my offer is this, that there is a spring of new communities out there specifically for helping entrepreneurs kind of connect with one another and to relate to each other so that they don't have to be alone. And in one of my courses on productivity, I was, just asking, yay, what did you like the most? What was most beneficial about the course? And several of the students said it was just knowing that they weren't alone was one of the best things about the course. So that's kind of what I offered to other people, is that if they're looking for that community and they don't have the ability to change their environment and move to Hawaii like I do, there's ways of building that environment, either virtually, with your connections. So I'm always happy to point people the right way, or they could potentially join a waitlist that I'm building now for my own entrepreneur community.
Awesome. So audience, I hope that you jump on the show notes, because on the show notes, there'll be a number of materials and also website details that you can get to know Rafi, and you can definitely connect with him. He's got a number of courses to help you with your productivity and also learn more about the work that he's doing. And he's more than happy to share with you around the productivity aspects. There's a lot more research that he's gone in depth to, but today we are giving you a good taste of what it is and introducing him to the world that I am in. So I hope that everyone is enjoying this episode. Thank you, Rafi, once again for joining me in this podcast show. Hope that everyone is going to write to us and let us know what inspired most on this episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Please check out the show notes for more details and resources that you can access and explore. I would like to invite you to join my mailing list, rate this podcast 5-star, share it with your friends and family. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. And last but not least, I want to invite you to work with me. So book a consult and let's discuss how I can help you make money joyfully and attract affluent clients. Have a great day.